Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Grateful, thankful, and as always, blessed to be a child of the Most High God. But God, whew, woke me up this morning, clothed me in my right mind, and all I can say is thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for another day. Because we all know somebody didn't wake up this morning. Somebody was not given an opportunity like we are for a rewrite and a do-over. Hallelujah. Lord God, I thank you this morning for waking me up. I thank you this morning, Lord God, for just being who you are, an awesome and mighty God who loves his children, who wants the best for us. For Lord God, you are the potter, and we are your humble clay. Mold us to make us, oh God, brand new, oh God. Take us through the storms and the fires of life, oh God, that we might be better. Lord God, I ask you to guide us and lead us and show us the way towards salvation, towards you, God. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord God, I ask you, Father God, please increase as I decrease, Lord God. Whew, hallelujah, Father God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart be acceptable in your sight, Lord God. For you are my strength, and you are my redeemer. You are my father. You are my friend. You know my name, and you know every gray hair on my head, God. You know each hair on my head, the salt and the pepper. And all I can say is thank you, Lord, for giving me wisdom and continuing to give me wisdom every day, God. Remove any pride from my spirit, God. But I want to be humble for you. I want to be emptied for you to fill me up, oh God. Fill me up with your Holy Spirit. Let me speak only what you want me to speak. Remove all self. For I humbly speak your word and speak you, God. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. I pray this prayer again in the name of Christ Jesus, my Lord and Savior, who died for my sins on Calvary's cross, who loved all of us enough to give us opportunity to be better, that our book that will be written will be a bestseller, hallelujah, to get into the gate. Will be right there with our name written on it. The award goes to my good and faithful servant. You can come in. The salvation is written by your name. Saved, set free, and healed. Thanking God this morning for all of you. For him to continue watching over and blessing you. Take care, family. Let's get started. Call a friend, text a friend, tell them to call 213-943-3597. If they want to listen in or join me on Twitter at Minister D Talks Word. Hallelujah. So that's Minister MIN_D Talks Word. Hallelujah. So thanking you all. Let's get started. It is what? Say it with me, y'all. A great word. It's a great word. It's God's word. Not my words, but God's word. And I'm going to tell you, it is enlightening. That's the word I want to use this morning. It's enlightening. It will make you think. about yourself, a New Testament word and an Old Testament word, it will make us take some looks at ourselves. You know, Job is speaking this morning, you know, and he's feeling the things that he's feeling because we all have been there. We've all had our Job moment, maybe not as bad as this, not with the boils, not with the ashes, not with the worms, not with the torment. But we all have gone through our stormy days and our sleepless nights. And if you haven't gone through them, praise the Lord. We all have gone through our days a mess. But from our mess and our test, we have messages and testimonies. God will use your situation to help somebody else. So I thank God today that he has blessed me. And I am grateful. I am so grateful. And I thank God that he loves all of us enough to give us do-overs. So I pray my do-over today will be better than yesterday. Because God has given me another opportunity. And I pray I don't waste it. And that's what we have to do every day. Pray that we don't waste the opportunity that God gives us. Because he didn't have to wake you up this morning. He didn't have to heal your mind, your body, your spirit. But he is doing it. And he has done it. We are healed. So we speak it. Speak life over yourself. I am a child of God. And he loves me. I am above and not beneath. I'm the head and not the tail. I am saved. Sanctified. Deal with the Holy Spirit. I will walk in the light and not in darkness. Oh, hallelujah. I thank God for the stripes of Jesus that I'm here, that the pain is not in my legs. The pain is not in my joints. The pain is not shooting through my fingers. The pain is not in my head. The pain is not in my feet. The pain is not in my legs. Oh, I am healed by his stripes. I am healed. We got to claim our healing. We got to speak Jesus to whatever is going on. We got to tell it about our God. God already knows what we're going through. We got to start telling our pain. Not today. I'm a child of God and I got work to do. And I don't have time to be worrying about you. So, me be healed. Hey, carpal tunnel be healed. Nerves be healed. Whatever is the situation, you got to start telling it about your God. Finances be healed. Ooh. We got to do what we got to do. You know, I got to say, you know, I am grateful to God. You know, of all the things, you know, we get busy, we get distracted, but we got to focus on God. So let's focus on God this morning. Please join me in the book of Job, chapter 9. And we're going to be reading this morning, Job chapter 9 through Job chapter 10, verse 22. And we're going to also be in our Psalm, God willing, Psalm 93. The 93rd Psalm, verses 1 through 5, the 22nd Proverbs 22, verses 22 through 23, and Romans chapter 9, 16 through 33. We'll be finishing Romans chapter 9 this morning. And I tell you, as I was studying, Romans chapter 9 will give you something to think about. As well as this book of Job, because I'm going to tell you, this chapter 9 of Job is Job talking. And honestly, you would think that Job was some of us when we've gone through. You know, you feel like okay, why did you even create me? Why did you even let me be born? You know, and in Romans, you know, Paul, you hear the word, and it says, who are you to reply against God? And, you know, that question is, he would say to me, why does he still find fault for who has resisted his will? You know, sometimes you have that question, why have you made me like this? You know, we want to judge as men and women of God. As Christians, we want to put on our judgment hat, our judgment coat, and we want to sit in judgment of everyone, not knowing what they are going through, not knowing what they are feeling, not knowing their trials, not knowing their tribulations, not knowing their story. And God put in my heart this morning, I'm the potter. You are the clay. I'm the judge. You will be judged. We got to get out and be with God. We're not. We are all saved by the grace and the mercy and the blood of Jesus Christ. And I just want to say thank you, Lord, for putting that in my spirit. Because, yeah, I've been in my little judgment seat. Ooh, they're going to get there. Mm-mm, not my place. Only God can judge anybody. And we all know, don't let us get so prideful. Thank you, Beth. Beth Moore wrote about it this morning. That I read it this morning. I'm not sure when she wrote it, but it was on her tweet. And it's so true that you know, Christians, we think we are all that. I'm saying that we deal with the Holy Ghost. But our nose in the air, looking down on our brothers and sisters who may have a drug addiction, who may be dealing with some other demons. But we want to look down because we heard that, this, that, and the other. And God is going to judge us. Everything we say, everything we do, everything we think is being written in our book. The question is, what will your book say? So let's get into God's word and what his book says. So hopefully everybody is in Job chapter 9, and it says this, I am coming out of New King James. So for my King James readers, you should be able to follow me without any issue. No thems and thous. That's about the only difference between the two. And for those that are just joining this Moving Forward experience, I am coming out of the Charles S. Stanley Life Principles, Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for each day of the year. I'm coming out of the New King James Version. And I will say, again, disclaimer, I'm not being paid by In Touch Ministries or any of our doctor's family to hawk his Bible. You know, if you send me $5, you know, I'm not sending you prayer oil or any of that stuff, because this is my gift to God. This is my time with God that I like to share with you. And I pay to share it with you. But it's a gift of love because I just love God so much. And this has been my assignment, to teach his word, to read his word for those that may be sick and shut in. So if you have a sick or shut in parent or someone that you want to hear the word of God, please tune in to Moving Forward. That's what this is. We just read the word of God. Yeah, sometimes God will put stuff in my heart and I get a little preachy. But, you know, forgive me, because it's not me, it's God. Because I am actually quite introverted. That's why I do a radio show. And if you don't see me on TikTok, and you're not going to probably see my face on Facebook either. Unless God puts that in my spirit. But for right now, I'm behind the scenes. I just want to say this Bible has changed my life. And sharing it with you has changed my life. As those that listen know, I get emotional. But I say, if you don't have time or you just need a word from God or an example or a life lesson, just get this Bible. It will be worth your while. God put it in my heart last year to use this Bible. And I am so grateful that I did. I have learned so much from Dr. Stanley, as well as just made me think about some things on my own. So we use this Bible, and I will say, please, if you do not have it, you need to get it. Christian Books is, and that's ChristianBooks.com, is having a big old Bible sale right now. So if you are looking for a Bible or you don't have a Bible, that is a great website to get any Christian literature you need. You can get it at ChristianBooks.com. You know, and of course, many go to Amazon. You can get it there too. But I am a ChristianBooks.com order. I order most of my stuff from them. But I say today, if you have opportunity to buy this word, please do. And follow us in this word of travel and move forward in God's word. My assignment is to read Genesis to Revelation on air from January 1st to December 31st. That's my assignment, and that's what I'm going to do. So let's get into word. And Lord, I'm sorry if I keep interrupting you. And this is the word that God has given us. And then Job answered and said, "Truly, I know it is so. But how can a man be righteous before God? If one wished to contend with him, he could not answer him one time out of a thousand. God is wise in heart and mighty in strength. Who has hardened himself against him in passion? He moves the mountains and they do not know when he overturns them in his anger. He shakes the earth out of its place and its pillars tremble. He commands the sun and it does not rise. He seals off the stars. He alone spreads out the heavens and treads on the waves of the sea. He made the bear, Orion, and the Pleiades, and the chambers of the south. He does great things past finding out. He has wonders without number. If he goes by me, I do not see him. If he moves past, I do not perceive him. If he takes away, who can hinder him? Who can say to him, what are you doing? God will not withdraw his anger. The allies of the proud for him. How then can I answer him and choose my words to reason with him? For though I were righteous, I could not answer him. I would beg mercy of my judge. If I called and he answered me, I would not believe that he was listening to my voice. But he crushes me with a tempest and multiplies my wounds without cause. He will not allow me to catch my breath, but fills me with bitterness. If it is a manner of strength, indeed he is strong. And if of justice, who will appoint me day? Who will appoint my day in court? Though I were righteous, my own mouth would condemn me. Though I were blameless, it would prove me am blameless. Yet I do not know myself. I despise my life. It is all one thing. Therefore I say, he destroys the blameless and the wicked. If the scribe prays suddenly, he laughs at the plight of the innocent. If the scourge prays suddenly, and we all have gone through COVID, how many people do you know died or were ill are in the hospital or were on ventilators or passed away. Millions didn't make it, but we are one of the ones that did. If the scourge slays suddenly, he laughs at the plight of the innocent. The earth is given into the hand of the wicked. He covers the faces of its judges. If it is not he, who else could it be? Job is right there telling it. The wicked, evil, little sneaky snake who goes to and fro is causing his problems. The earth is given into the hand of the wicked. Or we could say the evil one. He covers the face of his judges. If it is not he, who else could it be? And he goes on to say, now my days are swifter than a runner. They flee away. They see no good. They pass by light. They pass by light swift step. If I say I will forget my complaint, I will put off my sad face and wear a smile. I am afraid of all my sufferings. I know that you will not hold me innocent. If I am condemned, why then do I labor in vain? If I wash myself with snow water and cleanse my hands with soap, yet you will plunge me into the pit and my own clothes will abhor me. But he is not a man as I am, that I may answer him, that we should go to court together. Nor is there any mediator between us. Who may lay his hand on us both? Let him take his rod away from me, and do not let dread of him terrify me. Then I would speak and not fear him. But it is not so with me. My soul, chapter 10 of Job, my soul loathes my life. I will give free course to my complaint. I will say to God, do not condemn me. Show me why you contend with me. Does it seem good to you that you should oppress, that you should despise the work of your hands and smile on the counsel of the wicked? Do you have eyes of flesh, or do you see as man sees? Are your days like the days of a mortal man? Are your years like the days of a mighty man, that you should seek from my iniquity and search out my sin? Although you know what I am not wicked, although you know that I am not wicked. One more time. Verse number 7, chapter 10 of Job. Although you know that I am, and there is no one who can deliver from your hands. Your hands have made me and fashioned me an intricate unity, yet you would destroy me. Remember, I pray that you have made me like clay, and will you turn me into dust again? Did you not pour me out like milk and curdle me like cheese, clothe me with skin and flesh, and knit me together with bones and skin? You have granted me life and favor, and your care has preserved my spirit. And these things you have hidden in your heart. I know that this was with you. If I sin, then you mark me and will not acquit me of my iniquity. If I am wicked, woe to me. Even if I am righteous, I cannot lift up my head. I am full of disgrace. See my misery. If my head is exalted, you hunt me like a fierce lion. And again, you show yourself ultimate against me. You renew your witnesses against me and increase your indignation toward me. Changes and war are ever with me. Why then have you brought me out of the womb, or that I had perished and no eye had seen me. Oh, that I had perished and no eye seen me. I would have been as though I had not been. I would have been carried from the womb to the grave. Are not my days few? Seek, leave me alone that I may take a little comfort before I go to the place from which I shall not return, to the land of darkness and the shadow of death, a land as darkness itself, as the shadow of death without any order, where even the light is like darkness. Wow. Lesson from Job chapter 9, verse 33. Nor is there any mediator between us who may lay his hand on us both. Job recognized that while he had earned a reputation as a blameless man, yet as a sinner he lacked all righteousness before his holy God. Thank you, Dr. Stanley. This is Dr. Stanley's brother. And he said, Job needed what we have, a sympathetic mediator between a holy God and a sinful people. Here's the good news, but there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, our Savior, hallelujah, forever and ever. Jesus is our mediator between us and God. And when we go over, we're going to go over to some word this morning. We're going to go to second, I believe it's 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. So please go with me to the New Testament, to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and humanity, the man, Jesus Christ, who gave himself as a ransom for all, a testimony at the proper time. For this I was appointed a herald, an apostle. I am telling the truth. I am not lying. And a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. And I just read 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 5 through 7, as an understanding. And it goes on to say, we stand as righteous only when by faith we stand in the righteousness of Christ. Thank God that we have a mediator between us and God, because God don't play. He don't play that foolishness. You know, we want to talk a good game. But God sees past all the surface. He sees into our heart. He sees our spirit. He sees everything we do. He knows everything we say. He knows our thoughts. He knows all about us. Why? Because he created us. He is the potter. We are the clay. You know, we sometimes get folks that forget who is in charge. And it is not us. It is God. God is not a man. He is the potter, and we are the clay. That's what he gave me this morning as I was studying. I was like, Lord, I need a title for today's lesson. And God said, okay. Not a man. I am the creator of everything. And then God said, God, and then I heard the voice, and I know it was the Holy Spirit said, God is not a man. He is the potter, and we are his clay. God is not a man. He is the potter, and we are his clay. And as we go back into Job chapter 10, verse 12, it says, you have granted me life and favor, and your care has preserved my spirit. And Dr. Stanley tells us, even in the middle of their bitter complaints, those with a genuine heart for God continue to hope in his grace and remember his many blessings. God sustains them even when it feels as though he attacks them. God is sustaining us. You know, I get nerve pain in my fingers. And I thank God for them, because every time they wake me up, it's because God's got something for me to do. And so it's like, well, you might have to get surgery. No, I don't. Because you know what? I as they say, what does Paul talk about? The thorn in his side. So maybe that pain is a thorn that you have to deal with. Because it's God reminding you who's in charge, and it is not us. He is the part of, and we are the clay. We are his creation. And as we go into verse 20 of Job chapter 10, leave me alone that I may take a little comfort. You know, sometimes we feel that way when we're in pain, and that excruciating pain is going through your body. When you have arthritis, when you have those joint and fibromyalgia they talk about, which is that nerve pain. You know, I'm dealing with some nerve issues, but I know that I am healed by the blood of Jesus. I'm claiming my healing, and I'm not claiming anything but healing. Hallelujah. We got to start claiming what we want. Lord, I know by the blood of Jesus, my joints are healed. I know by the blood of Jesus, my nerves are healed. I know by the blood of Jesus, all is well with me, because you created me, and I trust in you. I put my hope in you. I know that you can heal me, God, without God being in charge of it. Don't allow the enemy to make you think that he's doing something, because he can't do anything without God's permission. Understand that. And when we understand that, everything else will fall into place. Yes, we will have pain. Yes, we will have moments where we will feel like we can't go on. But yes, you can, because you are a child of God. He created you in his image. He loves you, and he cares about you, and he wants the best for you. He wants the best for all of us. I thank God this morning that he loves me, that he cares about me, that he disciplines me when I don't act right. Hallelujah. We all got that moment. We got to keep our tongues behind our teeth and speak life and not death. Speak hope. Whew, in the future and not failure. I hope. I pray. I believe. I have faith. And this is what says Job was feeling it. Leave me alone that I may take a little comfort. And it says, when we feel most discouraged and worn out, we may wish that God would just leave us alone. He never does. He promises us, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And we have to stand on his word. We have to stand on his word. As Jonathan Butler says, I stand on your word. I stand on your promise. I stand on your word. I stand on your promise. No matter what the situation, I believe. No matter what my circumstances, I believe. I stand on your word. We got to stand on the word of God, that he will never leave us nor forsake us. That when you start getting that nerve pain, when that stuff starts happening, when you say, on your word, God, that you will never leave me or forsake me, and I know that I'm healed by the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Because I'm going to tell you, the enemy's going to come at you. He's going to try to distract you. He's going to try to knock you off your square every chance he gets. He wants your book to be written that you go to hell, because he don't want to be by himself. But we got to pray that we make it through. Lord, let my book be written and my name be written in your book. Hallelujah. Psalm 93, our 93rd Psalm. And it says this, the Lord reigns. He is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed. He has girded himself with strength. Surely the world is established. so that it cannot be moved. Your throne is established. The floods have lifted up, O Lord. The floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their waves. The Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters, than the mighty waves of the sea. Your testimonies are very sure. Holiness adorns your house, O Lord, forever. I have just read the 93rd Psalm, verses 1 through 5. And this is a life lesson from Dr. Staley. It says this, but this scripture, the Lord reigns. He is clothed in his majesty. He has girded himself with strength. We are children of a sovereign God who has the power and the wisdom to make happen everything he desires to do. Nothing can frustrate his plans, and no one can derail his promises. That's why we can trust him. Hallelujah. I trust in God. We got in God. We've got to know that his word in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 says, let your conduct be without covenant. Be content with such things as you have. But he himself says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Woo! We got to keep trusting God. The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? I will never leave you nor forsake you is what God tells us. And we got to stand on his word and his promise. Proverbs chapter 22, verses 22 to 23. Do not rob the poor because he is poor, nor oppress the afflicted at the gate. For the Lord will plead their cause and plunder the soul of those who plunder them. Don't mess with God's anointed. Don't mess with God's children. Remember who created them. Who created you? God created us all. We got to remember that. And trust in him. Trust in his word. Stand on his promise. Hallelujah. My soul says yes. Hallelujah. Is your soul saying yes this morning to his will, to his way? Are you trusting? Are you obeying God? Thank you, Jonathan Butler, for those beautiful words. Stand on his word. Romans chapter 9, verses 16 through 33. Also part of our title for this morning. And it says this, so then it is not of him who wills, nor of him who runs, but of God who shows mercy. But the scripture says to the Pharaoh, for this very purpose I have raised you up, that I may show my power in you, and that my name may be declared in all the earth. Therefore, he has mercy on whom he wills, and whom he wills, he hardens. Woo. Did y'all catch that? I'm going to read it again. Verse number 18 of Romans chapter 9. Therefore, he has mercy on whom he wills, and on whom he wills, he hardens. We wonder why some folks can just be so nasty, so mean, and just wicked. What does the word say? Whom he will be hardened. Wow. Why? Because I didn't create you. You didn't create me. God created us both. He is the pardon, and we are his creation. The good, the bad, the ugly, the pretty, the beautiful, the just downright magic. He created us all. And this is what the word says, not me, but God's word says, you will say to me then, why does he still find fault? For who has resisted his will? But indeed, O man, who are you to reply against God? Will the thing formed say to him who formed it, why have you made me like this? Whew! Does not the potter have power over the clay from the same lump to make one vessel for honor and another for dishonor? What if God, wanting to show his wrath and to make his power known. Endure with much long suffering the vessels of wrath prepared for destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy prepared beforehand for glory. Even us whom he called out from the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles, as he says also in Hosea, I will call them my people who are not my people, and her beloved who are not beloved. And it shall come to pass in the place where it was said to them, you are not my people. There they shall be called sons of the living God. Wow. What a word. Isaiah also cries out concerning Israel. Though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, the remnant will be, for he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because the Lord will make a short work upon the earth. And as Isaiah said before, unless the Lord of Sabbath has left us a seed, he would have become like Sodom. We would have become like Sodom, and we would have been made like Gomorrah. What shall we say then? That Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness of faith? But Israel, pursuing the law of the righteousness, has not attained to the law of righteousness. Why? Because they did not seek it by faith, but as if were by the works of the law. For they stumbled at that stumbling stone, as it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and rock of offense, and whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. I want to read that again. What shall we say then? That Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness of faith. But Israel, pursuing the law of righteousness, has not attained to the law of righteousness. Why? Because they did not seek it by the works of the law. For they stumbled at that stumbling stone, as it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and rock of offense, and whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. And I just have some life lessons and a life example for this word this morning. And as we go into Romans chapter 9, verse 18, whom he wills, he hardens. We know that God wants all to come to repentance. How is it then that God hardens people's hearts, understanding that Pharaoh had five opportunities during the first five plagues to repent? Yet we see repeatedly that Pharaoh hardened his heart. Was not until the sixth plague that God gave Pharaoh over to his sinfulness. The Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh. The Lord is God, and he reserves the right to decide when someone has rejected him. Wow. And if you need scripture to back up what I just said, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, Exodus chapter 8, verse 32, Exodus chapter 7, verse 13, verse 23, verse Exodus chapter 8, verse 15, to 9, verse 7. And also Exodus chapter 9, verse 12, and John chapter 3, verse 17 and 18. And we already know John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. But we need to go into 17 and 18 too. So let's go real quick over to John chapter 18. I'm sorry, John chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. And when we go, and this is, again, all that Jesus was speaking. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Do you believe in Jesus today? Do you believe in the Son of God? Is your heart unhardened? Romans chapter 9, verse 27, the remnant will be saved. The idea of the remnant appears throughout Scripture in 2 Kings chapter 19 and 30 and 31, Ezra 9 and 8. We read them both. Isaiah 10 and 20, which we'll be getting to. In his grace, God preserved a small portion of his people, Israel, until the day God will rescue his children. Don't get it twisted. God will bring his children all. And I love this example that Dr. Stanley gives us this morning. And it's called Molded by the Maker. And I'm going to tell you, get your pen and paper out. There's a few things that you might want to write down from this word this morning. And I'm going to tell you, Romans chapter 9 is a lot. And, you know, again, Paul is writing this word when he knows he's going to die. He knows his time is coming short, that his book is being written, and he knows that he is just Christ, and he wants to be used by the Maker. He wants to be used by God. And as we go into this word, it says, and when the potter takes the lump of clay, he knows what he wants to do with it, whether he wants to create a beautiful bowl or pitcher. He already knows what it's going to become. Therefore, he takes the lump of clay, puts it on a potter's wheel, and begins to shape it. However, the only way the potter can form this piece of clay into something beautiful is by getting it in the center of the wheel. And says one of the reasons God is not able to make us into the people he wants us to be is that we rebel against him. We insist on doing things our way and get out of the center of his will. However, if we insist on questioning and contradicting him, we'll never experience God's will. Romans 9 and 20, 21 warns, who are you to reply against God? Will the thing formed say to him who formed it, why have you made me like this? Does not the potter have power over the clay? What it all comes down to is this one question. Do you or don't you believe that God knows what is best for your life? God is daily molding us through our circumstances, and we need to trust him. Our faith in him is absolutely crucial. Therefore, here are six words to describe our master potter that will help us when our faith falters. Number one, power. The truth is that God has power in our life because he is omnipotent. He is all-powerful. He can do anything he chooses to do. However, God gave us a will of our own because he wants us to love him freely. Now, there is no such thing as an absolutely free will because God is in ultimate control over all things. He allows our free will up to a certain point. However, the master potter has the authority and power over the clay. Again, who created who? He is God. He is the potter, and we are his clay. God is not a man. Number two, purpose. God has a specific purpose in mind for each of us, and he created us with qualities that will fulfill that purpose. Number three, plan. God has a plan. His plan is to mold us and work daily to conform us to the likeness of his son, Jesus Christ, through our life. Number four, patience. God never hurries. That's because spiritual maturity is not something that can be rushed. it continues on even when we are older. We cannot rush in because becoming like Jesus Christ involves a lifetime process of learning the way of God. The 63-year-old me is not the me that was 43 or 23 or 33 or 13. 13 me got saved, but it took me 50 years to get to this place. Come on now. The 13-year-old me is not the same me of today. We got to all understand, whew, when you get to your year of jubilee, oh, thank you, God. It just hit my heart. Lord, thank you. Bring that later. Hallelujah. Patience. God never hurries. That's because spiritual maturity is not something that can be rushed. Keep that in your spirit. Perseverance is number 5. We must remember something extremely important here. When the potter finds imperfections in the clay, he puts it back on the wheel and reshapes it. He never throws it away. God never discards us. He will never throw us away. The all-powerful, loving hand of God, our Father, has the power to overcome any obstacle in our life. God can make us into something extraordinary. Number 6, personal. God does not put all people in one big lump. He forms each one of us individually. He can do that because he is infinite in power, wisdom, and love. He knows exactly what he has planned for each one of us. Therefore, trust the master potter. Trust the one who is powerful, who has a purpose and a plan for you, who is patient with you and perseveres with you, and who loves you deeply and personally. As he molds you, learn from him, cling to him. He is molding you into the most wonderful vessel for his works and creating a future that is better than you could ever imagine. You are a masterpiece waiting to happen, so submit to his touch. Hallelujah. God is not a man. He is not a man. He is the potter, and we are his clay. Whew, hallelujah, what a word this morning. And as always, before we get out of here today, a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, this morning. And I have not gotten Sister Carolyn's word yet, but I will have it. Hopefully before we finish, so we're going to go to our prayer this morning. And then we'll go back and see if we have a word from Sister Carolyn. And our word for this today, wow, chapter 9 of Romans, on this 9th day of August, unshakable. That's mine, you will keep in perfect peace because he trusts in you. Almighty One, you are the rock that my life is built upon. When storms come, my foundation will not be moved. It can't be washed away. My mind is set on you, the author and perfecter of my faith. You keep me steady through the ups and downs of life, over the hills and through the valleys. As long as I trust in you, your peace is my portion. I don't have to go searching for stillness because it's readily accessible right here and now. Thank you, Lord, for your love that is unwavering in its intensity. You keep me insulated in the affections of your heart. I will keep my mind fixed on you, resolute to the very end. Thank you for your grace that fills in every crack in my armor. You turn my deficits into stores of your goodness. I can't stop marveling at your wonderful ways. And the question today is this: where does your trust lie? My trust is in the Most High God, who created me, who made me his own. So thank you, family. Be blessed and have a wonderful and blessed day. We will go over Sister Carolyn's work on tomorrow, because I know how God works. When it's not meant for today, it will come on tomorrow. So please join me tomorrow, God's willing, at 7 o'clock a.m. Central Standard Time as we move forward in God's Word. And I say as I pray to you every day that miss for prayer, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and wonderful day. And God just put in my heart, is there someone out there that needs to say a word or has a testimony? Now is the time to raise a hand and push the one on your phone at 213-943-3597. If you have a word from God, if not, we are wrapping it up. Again, 213-943-3597 is our call-in number, and you can call in as well as listen on social media. I believe there is a place on social media that you can talk to the host. You will just need to push that button, and your line will be open. No callers this morning. Thank you all, then. I appreciate you listening in. For those that call in, thank you so much. I love you all. I pray for you. And I just say, our book is not completed until the day we leave this earth. Let your new chapters be your best chapters as you trust in God. Have a blessed day, family. And again, keep in mind, God is not a man. He is the Father, and we are his clay. Have a blessed day, family. It is what? It's a wrap. Have a great day.